some stories about working with Mark and Doug on it.
Well, Mark was a wonderful gentleman. It's something I've noticed in landscape architecture. People who are in gardening, and it's said to be one of the least stressful positions or jobs in the world, and I believe that. There's just a wonderful piece about him and the passion about the plants and roses, and Douglas Hosgood the same. And Mark had that passion, and I like, and as I mentioned in meetings, I didn't know enough about roses, and I'm so glad to have Mark on board. And this became a showpiece for Mark, and this was late in his life. Mark was twice my age at the time. Okay. He was 66. I would have been about 33. And he, as it turns out, he didn't live that much longer. He passed away, I think 1996, and this would have been built in 1992. So this was a bit of a tribute, and Mark's name is, thank goodness, on the plaque to the park. But in talking about the roses, I think it was mentioned earlier, this is like children and a passion to Mark. And I remember him clearly picking these roses in his mind for their various qualities and the aroma. Again, some of these roses, you're on top of the mountain, you have roses that are selected for their aromatic quality, and you get this aroma at the top of the mountain, and for their beauty, and for the selection of how the colors are next together. All of that, how the roses were picked and selected next to each other, was through Mark and Doug's, and our horticultural foreman as well too, Bill Bissett, their expertise. And all of that had drainage underneath, drip irrigation. So there's a whole complicated irrigation system underneath. See all those lines, complicated lines on that plan are all drip irrigation. It was all designed so that the roses could survive well and be healthy and not have to use pesticides or herbicides. And Doug Hosgood did a tribute to Mark Stockdale when he passed away, and I believe it was 1996. And he said, this best illustrates his joie de vivre. I don't know if I pronounced that properly, but his joy of life in French. He says, Mark said, without a doubt, my initial interest in the rose came from my dear parents. I can close my eyes and see my mother's garden now. I recall Etoile de Hollande, Golden Emblem, and Madame Butterfly. I never planted a rose until my wife and I bought our first house, the one we still live in the spring of 1955. I purchased New Dawn, Elegance, Hamburger, Phoenix, CI, Etoile de Hollande, Madame Butterfly, all climbers. The house already had 30 bushes and 11 blaze planted against the end of the house. Perhaps the most precious gift that my roses returned to me is that of tranquility. When I come home and look up the steps to Moissiae, which is one variety, I may have butchered the pronunciation, triumphantly rampant against the blue sky. When the heady perfume of City of York steals through the dust to surprise me, I surely know why I grow roses. That's a quotation from Mark Stocktale, as mentioned by Doug Hosgood. And they were close friends. And so this is the kind of passion you see from Mark Stocktale. These were not just roses. These were his babies, you know, on the mountain. So I'm very happy to say we provided a wonderful tribute to Mark's contribution to the Vancouver Rose Society. And it was a lot of fun working with him. They were wonderful men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know why he thought that this would be a good legacy project for Burnaby Centennial?
I think Burnaby did not have a rose garden. We had a rhododendron garden in Shadbolt Center for the Arts,
right?
In Deer Lake Center, but we didn't have a rose garden.
Well, and I was going to say that the floral or horticultural theme was used in another centennial, Canada's centennial. That was when the city planted rhododendrons and azaleas, and I think it chose the rhododendron as the city.
There was a rhododendron at the chose time, for the centennial, and there was a variety chosen for the city of Burnaby. So Burnaby has its own rhododendron, a variety named after the city, and it was planted in the rhododendron garden.
So do you think that was part of the inspiration for Mark, or
I don't know where the inspiration. I think. Mark, as he was a Burnaby resident, I believe, but just thought it was a great idea, and what a perfect location, and it was, and his vision was perfect for the mountain. It is a tourist destination. Later on came the Camuy Mantara, which is the Playground of the Gods, the sculptures from the from our Japanese sister city, Kushiro, which is now called Kushiro Park. And
Tell me about that. It's now its own little park?
It's called Kushiro Park, and that just happened recently. And that being the area around the Kamui Mantara.
Okay.
And it was just recently, there's a sign now, which our staff worked on, and it's now called Kushiro Park, if I recall correctly. And there was a bit of a ceremony with delegation from Kushiro here. That was just this summer. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, looking at the sculptures, and probably walked around the Rose Garden a bit, though. But you have all these, you know, there's I forget sometimes when you're in your own city, you forget sometimes the tourist destinations, and you take it for granted sometimes. But there's tourist buses going up there all the time, and people enjoying this site. And so if they have the aroma and fragrance and beauty of some roses for themselves, and as well as enjoying the sculptures and going for a bite to eat at the local restaurant there, it's a wonderful site. It's a very beautiful location. So I think it complements it well. I think it's a very nice choice by Mark and the Centennial Committee at the time.
In one city report, I read that Parks had actually considered building formal gardens up in the pavilion area. So I was just wondering if that had...
It could be. I can't recall, quite honestly. I think, if I recall, one of the reports said the city had been thinking about some sort of ornamental garden in the area. So I think there was the idea, the premise of doing it. I think but the spark plug was Mark, I guess, to me. Yeah, let's do it. You know, it's like, here's a place, let's do it. Rose garden, great idea. We don't have a rose garden. And it's like, and so I think it all came together beautifully.
So part of the site construction then was putting in this elaborate drip
system. Yeah, our crews did the work. We put in the paths. I worked with our crews, and our carpenters did the woodwork and did a wonderful job. So a lot of it was done in-house. I think there was some granite work which was done by probably a granite mason. I think it was Freddie Flame, I'm not sure, but it was an Italian gentleman, I think, who did the granite work. But that's an offside story. There was one of my first, this is getting off track, but
no, go ahead.
I think there was a granite mason here. I think his name was Freddie Flame, an Italian gentleman who did granite work the old school way, and he was wonderful. And one of my first jobs in Burnaby as a young landscape architect, I remember going to Variety Park, where we were working on that, and there was some work being done there, and there was some granite work. And I'm a young, naive, and he had just done some granite work, and I stepped on these granite blocks that were put down by him. And this man, it was raining, and a man came running out of a tent because they were tenting some of the work he was doing. He threw his hard hat on the ground, yelling at everything in the book, probably a lot of swear words in Italian, and saying, "What?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, what have I done?" I walked on his work. And this man, although he was short, he has, if you shake his hand, it's like shaking a baseball mitt. Because this is a man who's worked with granite all his life. And he was but this is old school granite mason, and just a wonderful man. I had worked with him several times, I remember, in my young years. But I think he did the granite work on this job. I'm not positive about that. But that was just a wonderful thing in my early years, or one of my first experiences in contracting. Anyways, on the Rose Garden, we worked with our crews, who did a wonderful job of laying this out, putting in the asphalt paths. Again, it wasn't, you know, elaborate or too elaborate in budget-wise, but it's a simple, effective design that I think worked well for the site, and it displays the roses well. We selected the benches, and it was a fun project with our staff and crews. And Mark and Doug were fussing about where the roses go, and I remember even after the fact, I think Mark would have commented on, okay, some are a little bit affected by, powdery mildew or something like that, and let our horticulture staff know. So, again, like his children on the mountain.
Yes.
And what a wonderful legacy to Mark. So.
Yes. Do you remember the opening day? Was the garden
there was
ready?
An opening in July 18th, 1992.
Okay.
And that's where I would have been there like a expectant father or something.
Yes.
I was pacing around the site, and it was a fun time for all the politicians would have been there of the time, mayor and council, and it was a fun opening. I remember, I think I had an interview. I recall some sort of, it was a local TV doing an interview and asking me about the design, and I would have mentioned a bit about the inspiration from the rose and the circular designs and something like that, to that effect. But yeah, it was a fun day.
Well,
and I think it was sunny too, if I recall correctly, which is good.
Perfect. Yeah. That's great.